if I had a favorite, and you all that went along with the lesson, and there couldn't have been a better one that you chose, but ye must be born again. That goes along with John chapter 3, which I was asked to speak about. So we're going to turn to the Gospel of John. And I want to say, when I was asked to do this, I thought, well, read the chapter again. And you know, it's one of those chapters that many of us have read lots of times and have heard many things from it. But this time when I read it, I found two things that I didn't know before. And that's good. So I'll share you those two things as we come along through our message. John chapter 3, and we want to remember that last week, as we were in John chapter 2, the chapter ends with the Lord Jesus there in Jerusalem. And as we open up John chapter 3, he is still in Jerusalem. He had just finished cleansing the temple. And after cleansing the temple, he spoke to the people. And there we find he made the statement, as we find in verse 19 of John chapter 2. And so we'll begin our reading there. Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life. Shall we just have a word of prayer? Father, again, we just want to thank you for the scriptures, for the word of God. We thank you for this portion, which has been known worldwide. And, Lord, we thank you for the power of the word of God and for the work of the Spirit of God. And so we ask your blessing upon us now as we look into the word, and we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Jesus, as I said, had been in Jerusalem, had just cleansed the temple. And, of course, after cleansing the temple, those Pharisees did not understand at all how he could destroy the temple. And it took 46 years. And he could say that in 3 days he would rise again. But, you see, he was talking about his body. And so we find that here Nicodemus is one who comes to the Lord at night. Now, when the Lord Jesus was there and he came to him at night, there's a few things that I want to mention about Nicodemus being a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was one who, in his state, would have had to know the whole 5 books of the Old Testament. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He would have memorized all of them. Some of you, I can hardly get to memorize 4 or 5 verses. But those Pharisees, they had to memorize those 5 books. Plus, he would have memorized many of the Psalms. Also, he would have known much of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and many other portions in the Word of God. And may I say to you again how important memory work is. Some of you are getting to the point where you might be getting Alzheimer's. And I've said this before to you, the last thing to go is the Word of God. I've had an amazing time and many times being in the hospital or in old folks' homes, nursing homes, etc. And when I have visited people, it's great to see that even though they may not know their mate, they may not know their children's names, but when I come in and say something to them and ask them to quote with me certain verses that they would have learned as a child or a young person, they can say it. And the kids often say, how come, Uncle Dave, that mom or dad, whoever it might be that's suffering from Alzheimer's, can converse with you and they don't even know us? Oh, I said, they're not conversing with me. They're conversing with the Lord. They know the scripture. It's the last thing to go. So may I encourage you once again to learn the scriptures, because I might come in to visit you sometime and you'll be able to say a few words of the Word of God. Now, Nicodemus, being a Pharisee of that sort, I want to tell you some of the things that he would have believed. He would have believed in the immortality of the soul. The soul never dies. He would have believed that. He also would have believed in the resurrection of the body. And also, as a Pharisee, he would have believed in heaven and hell. He also would believe in God's judgment, that God is going to bring all things into judgment. And he would have believed in the divine providence of God, that God controls the world. He believed that. And he would have believed that God ordained certain things to happen, to come to pass. He would have believed in the spirit world. He would have believed that there were demons that were out there. And the eighth thing he would have done is he would have tithed of that which he had. Tithing, of course, meant that he would give at least 10% of his money as unto the Lord. And the ninth thing that I want to mention that he would have believed in the coming Messiah. But although he believed all those things, he did not believe that Jesus was God. Now, as we began that first opening verse, you'll notice what Nicodemus said. Very impressive is that he said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So the one thing that he recognized is he recognized that he was a teacher from God. Second thing, that he was a worker for God, as we see in that verse. And the third thing that he would have recognized is that he was a partner with God. But he did not believe he was God. It's like many people today. They might recognize, and there could be people right in this room. You could recognize that Jesus is a great teacher. You can recognize that he did great miracles, that he taught great things. But you may not believe that he is God. Yes, he did not take it in that Jesus Christ was God. Now, Nicodemus, as we read here, he came by night. The Bible doesn't say. He might have came at night because he wanted to have a private conversation, a quiet conversation with the Lord alone. He may have come for that reason. Most people think he came because of embarrassment because he didn't want to be seen with the Lord Jesus and let the other Pharisees know that he was going to Jesus at night. But I think the exciting thing about this whole thing that Nicodemus came at night shows me that the Lord is always available. It doesn't make any difference what hour or what time we come to him, we can come. And so we find that Nicodemus came at night. Now, here was a Pharisee that was seeking the truth. And many of the Pharisees, as you know, they were hypocrites, as it tells us in the book of Matthew in chapter 23. But the fact that Nicodemus used the word we, I think that's interesting, that he used the word we, it shows that there were others who were also trying to know the truth. And here we find that Nicodemus was looking for the Messiah because he, along with others, they wanted to be free from the Roman bondage. But we find that as he came, the Pharisees wanted to know about John's person and teaching, as we read in first chapter of John, how they wanted to know about John's teaching. And here we find a Pharisee wants to know about the person and the teaching of the Lord. Now, the great thing is that verse in Jeremiah 29:13, where it says, if ye seek me, ye shall find me, when ye search for me with all your hearts. I also like that verse that we've memorized years ago as young people in Matthew 7 and verse 7, which says this, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now the three key words to that verse in verse 7 of Matthew 7:7 is ask, seek, and knock. And the way I was taught to memorize that was that each one of those words, the opening letter of the words is A-S-K. The key thing is ask. Yes, and that's what God wants us to do, is ask. And if we seek him, we will find him when we search for him with all our hearts. Now, we find that it was the miracles that Jesus did that convinced Nicodemus that he was from God and God was with him. And because of this, many of the other Jews that were Pharisees, they believed also, as we read in verse 2:23, because of the miracles. They believed in him. But there were many, as we read in John chapter 11 and verse 47, that rejected him, and what they wanted to do was to crucify him. They wanted to kill him. Now, Nicodemus did not recognize the Lord Jesus as God manifested in the flesh. He recognized him as a teacher from God. And since Nicodemus believed he was a teacher, Jesus right away began to teach. Yes, that's the most interesting thought, that the Lord began to teach this teacher, and he taught him the most important thing. Now notice how the Lord Jesus starts with him when he says, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto you, ye must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, what you need first is not teaching, but to be born again. Yes. And as a Jew, Nicodemus was looking for the Messiah to come to free him, as I said, from the bondage of the Romans. Yes. But he did not understand at all what it meant to be born again. Now, most of the Pharisees, as we read in chapter 7, they were proud. The Lord Jesus called them hypocrites in Luke chapter 18 several times. And they tried to make people believe that they were religious, spiritual. You remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican as they prayed. And then too, the Lord called them over again, hypocrites. Now, when the Lord said, you must be born again, Nicodemus said, how? How can you be born again? Now, in this chapter three, we have four illustrations that are given here to show that we need to be born again. The first illustration is birth. And when the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about being born again, he spoke about the fact of the natural birth that you see there. In the natural birth, you have two parents. So it is with the spiritual birth. You've got two parents, as it were. You've got the Word, yes, which is the water. If we look up 1 Peter just chapter 1 and verse 23, where it says, being born again, not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And also in Ephesians 5:26, it says these words, that he might sanctify them that he might sanctify and cleanse them by the washing of the water by the word. And so we need to be washed by the word. So it's by the word and by the spirit. Also, I might say we know that verse where it says, I'll skip that verse. I can't remember it. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, where it says also these words, that we need to be washed by the blood, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing. I'm sorry about that. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Yes, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And so, yes, it's the washing of the water, which speaks of the word of God, as we see in 1 Peter, also in 2 Peter, and it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that we need to convict us of our sin. Now, the washing of the water here, or the water and the word, doesn't mean baptism. No, because there's plenty of scriptures that tell us that it's not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And many people think that it means here that you need to be baptized, but as you read the Word of God in the New Testament, you will find that baptism is connected with death. That's what it's connected with. Where it comes that the birth, the new birth, is connected with life. Yes. And no matter, no amount of water is ever going to give us spiritual life. And that's what we need, is spiritual life. And it does not come by water. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and the Spirit of God dwells within us. And as it says in Romans 8:9, if you have not the Spirit of God, yes, he is none of his, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. When you find that a person is saved and the Spirit of God comes in, we'll find out that there's a change in the life of that person. There should be. Water baptism is part of our obedience to Christ and our witness for Christ, but it's not essential for salvation. Now, a child, as I said, inherits the nature of the parents, and the child of God partakes of the divine nature. And so, as we become a child of God, what we should do is, Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, they're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And what does natural birth result in? It results in death. It's earthly. But the spiritual birth results in life. It's heavenly. And there we have both the water and the Spirit has to do with a beginning born again, as I already quoted, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now John baptized with water. The Lord Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit. And to be born again, do not try to fix the old. You can't fix the old. You've got to be born again. Now, Nicodemus really illustrates the truth clearly of Corinthians 2:14, where it says, the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God or the things of God. Yes, the natural man does not. And if Nicodemus could have gone back into his mother's womb and be born again, well, he would come out. He's no different. He would come out a sinner. For as I quoted, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you. And we also have that verse in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, where it says these words. Well, I'm going to look that right up there because I can't. My mind goes blank. Romans 5 and verse 12, where it says this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death for all men, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, he gave that illustration of the birth. But the next illustration that we find is that of the wind. Let's just read that verse once again. And we have that here where it says, the wind bloweth, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I like the fact that the wind is likened unto the Spirit of God. Now, there's six things that I want to mention very quickly about the wind. The first thing about the wind is it's invisible. But just because you can't see the wind doesn't mean that it's not there. Right. So is it true about the Spirit of God? It's invisible. You can't see it. The second thing I want you to notice is that the wind is irresistible. Yes, when that wind comes, oh, it has power. It's irresistible. The third thing I want you to notice about the wind, it's inscrutable. No one is capable of being able to understand it completely. No, you can't understand the wind, neither can you understand completely the working of the Spirit of God. But another thing about the wind is invigorating. Oh, I like that about the Spirit of God. How invigorating the Spirit of God can be. And you all know what it is to want the wind to blow. Yes. And then another thing is the wind is irregular. It doesn't blow the same all the time. Why, this past week, we saw a real big difference in the wind and the power of the wind. It doesn't come. But, oh, listen, I want to tell you, I have enjoyed it immensely when I can sense that the Spirit of God is working in a meeting. Now, I've had that experience several times in my life. There's sometimes when I get up and speak and I just wonder whether I'm talking to the wall, you know. But you don't sense the Spirit of God. But that doesn't mean it's not there. And the Spirit of God still is working. But then the last one I want to mention of these eyes is that the Spirit of God is indispensable. So is the wind. You need the wind It's indispensable. And so it is with the Spirit of God. Now, Nicodemus came at night, and he still was in the dark. Yes, he came at night, and he was still in the dark. And as a teacher, he had the facts. He knew the Old Testament, which gave him light, but he did not have the life. Oh, he had lots of light. And the Pharisee asked the questions about the Lord, and he was still confused. How can these things be? Now, verse 10 was a verse that really struck me, which I just never thought of before this time of my reading. Verse 10, perhaps maybe you have, but not I. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and we receive not our witness. Now, are you a teacher, and you know all these scriptures, and you don't know these things? And you know, that particular day, when I was studying a bit on John chapter 3, I was doing my daily reading, and I was in Ezekiel chapter 36. Now, real quickly, we're going to just turn there, and this is just the thought that I needed. Ezekiel chapter 36, that goes along with this, and that is beginning with verse 25 in Ezekiel chapter 36. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. You know, I never connected that verse at all with John chapter 3. He knew about the fact of what the Lord was going. He read it. It's like me, you know, I can read over and over the Word of God, but I really don't take in all the time, I don't take in what I need to take all the time. But the Spirit of God right away gave that to me. How they are. He talked about getting a new spirit, a new life there in Christ. And so you see, Nicodemus, he needed to be born again. Now, Jesus said, we know. That means he includes John the Baptist. John and Christ had sensed the Spirit of God descending upon them, upon him like a dove at the baptism. And the heavens were open, and they heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, the Pharisees should have believed in that too, but they didn't. Now, the Lord Jesus said that he was God. You know how the book begins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And later on it goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Yes, we know that. But he came down from heaven, and he was in every place. Now, the other thought that just grabbed me, like I never saw it before, is in verse 13. Verse 10 was one. But verse 13 of this chapter also, notice what it says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. Now, when we read that part of the verse, we think about Enoch and Elijah, who were taken up into heaven, but they did not ascend on their own, like the Lord. but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. Get the next phrase. Which is in heaven. Now that to me struck me too, because as he's talking to Nicodemus, he's saying to him, yes, I'm down here talking with you, but I'm also in heaven. The Lord Jesus is everywhere at all times. He ascended. He descended from heaven. But my friends, Jesus Christ is God, and he was everywhere at the same time. He's there at the throne of God, but at the same time, he's here on earth in us. The Spirit of God dwells within us. And so, you see, he knows all things. Now, we find that the next illustration that he gave was of the serpent on the pole. You can read that account in Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And, you know, when you stop to think of it, these people, they were bitten by the snakes. Now, you know the story, how that they were bitten by these snakes and they were dying. They were complaining about the manna. Now, the thing that really struck me about the manna several years ago is when you stop to think of it. Each one was to gather an omer. You can look it up yourself as you read it. Now, an omer is 6 pints. Now, conservatively estimated, that would mean there was about 12 million people there that were traveling through the wilderness. Now, if you take that, those 12 million pints, and you convert that into pounds, you've got 9 million pounds, or 4,000 tons. 4,500 tons. That's what it is. And, my, they needed that every day. I don't know if that staggers your mind, but it does mine. That's a lot of bread. Now, for us to take that in a little bit more, I want to tell you this. You would need 10 trains. Each train would have 30 cars attached. And each car would have 15 tons in it. That's how much manna they would need. And God was graciously supplying that manna. And they were grumbling, and so the Lord sent them these serpents that came and bit them, and they began to die. Now, I remember doing this as a little skit at Lilolai. I enjoyed it because, in fact, I did it maybe one time here, too. But anyways, I gave the picture of the Lord Jesus on the cross as it turned that way. First of all, I showed Moses as he set up the pole with the brazen serpent, and then it transferred over to Christ on the cross, which is the meaning of it. And so I had the Israelites, the kids come, and the counselors, and what they did is the first one, after I put up the scene, came in screaming. And I asked him, what's wrong? He said, I'm bitten. I'm so badly bitten. I know I'm going to die. And I said to him, all you have to do is look to the one on the cross. All the Israelites had to do was to look to the one on the pole. But I'm so badly bitten, I can't be healed. And he dropped over dead there as he fell down on the floor. I had another kid that came in, and I asked her, what are you doing? And she says, I'm helping others. These people are badly bitten and they need to be helped. And that reminded me of the people who are always trying to help others, try to do something. But I told her, you're bitten, you gotta look. No, I need to help these people. And she dropped over dead. And then I had another kid that came in, and he was beaten on the snakes. I ask him, what are you doing? He says, I'm fighting off the snakes. We got to get rid of this, all this. It's just like people today. They're trying to get rid of all the sin. You're not going to get rid of the sin, my friends. What you need to do is to look. But people are trying to fight the snakes. And again, he dropped over dead. I had another counselor that came in, and when I asked her what she was doing, she said, well, I'm giving these people ointment. They need to have some of my ointment that will help them. Oh, there's so many ways that people think that they can help people. Well, finally, there was one that came, and he looked. And he went out of the room rejoicing that he was healed. But then there was another one that came in to try to pay money. Oh, there's lots of people who try that technique, is to pay money. But they refuse to look. They try to do good works. Still another one I had that came in, and I asked him what he was doing. He said, I'm looking for Moses. We need help. Not to Moses. Not to a man. You look to the pole. You look to Christ. And you see again, because he refused, he dropped over dead. Then I had another counselor that came in laughing. Oh, he was laughing. Why, this is all going to pass. It's not going to amount to anything. And to look to a pole, that's ridiculous. How many people laugh at the things of God? And then I had one that came and said, I can hardly see. But I said, can you see at all? Yeah, I can see some. Just look. You don't have to see or understand everything. Just look. And looked, and he got life. But then I had a counselor that came in and said, don't worry about it. It's all going to pass away, and it's nothing to worry about. Listen, my friends, there's lots to worry about if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. Yes. Now, my time always goes too fast, but I'm going to quit on time. There are three must in this chapter. The first one is in verse 7. You must be born again. We sang that song. That's the first must. The second must is that we find that it's in verse 14. It's the Savior's must. I must be lifted up. And then we find the sovereign's must in verse 30, where we said that the Lord, let me read that verse to you, where we have these words in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Those are the three must of this chapter. Now, there's three steps that we can read about Nicodemus. The first one is he came to Jesus. That's verse 1. And then the next one is in chapter 7 and verse 30 that he testified about Jesus. And the next one is found in chapter 19 of this book, where he did a service for Jesus. Because you'll remember that Nicodemus was one that was instrumental in burying the Lord Jesus. And so it is for us. The first step for us is to come to Jesus. Come unto me. As it says in Matthew 11:28. And then it also says that we should speak for Jesus, as we have in Romans chapter 10. And then we also have a work for Jesus. My, if you claim that you know Jesus Christ as Savior, then you need to do some work for him. Yes, we have that in verse 226. Good works will never save you. But if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, it's by your fruits that we shall know you, and you should do a work for him. I'm quitting on time so that I can just close in a word of prayer. And I trust that God will speak to you through this chapter, which is so well known. And if you noticed, I ended at verse 15. Because according to most commentators, this is where the conversation between the Lord Jesus and Nicodemus ended. It did not include John 3:16. But whether it included John 3:16 or not, we know that the Spirit of God has used verse 16 over and over again because it makes the gospel very clear. Shall we just close in prayer? Lord, we thank you for the message.